Hello, Life Lab fans. Zach Schaefer here.
And David Ponder.
And we're doing something kind of special this week. We are going to release what we call a mini episode. We're going to try our best to keep this to 7 minutes or less. And we are going to be focusing on something that's going on in the news, and that's related to the Google employee diversity memo. And if you aren't familiar with it, go on the interwebs and do some reading about it. But you can also read the actual original memo at diversitymemo.com. This is a huge controversy in many ways, but Dave had a great idea of having a mini episode about this to try to tie back to our previous episode on intellectual freedom, because that's what this is all about.
Well, it was just so timely, our release of the intellectual freedom episode and the Google memo making national news. And so, of course, like any sensitive topic, we have to start this out with a disclaimer. And that disclaimer is that we are not taking one side or the other on any content that is in the Google memo. Of course, in intellectual freedom and around this topic, as we discussed earlier, even referencing content will lead others to make assumptions, rightly or wrongly, about you. And that's why when we say certain topics are just toxic, that you have to stay away from them, that's what we're talking about.
Or the flip side, which is what this is about, certain topics are sacred cows that no one can touch or approach. We can't discuss or debate because they're so sanctified. They're so holy.
Right. So if you're on the virtuous side, it's a sacred cow and it's sacred and holy. If you are on the heretic side, then it is toxic. Those ideas cannot be entertained or mentioned.
Well, before Dave's got something he's going to read, a quote that relates to this, but I have a question for him. What's his name? James Damor, I think. Did the Google employee know he was going to get fired for what he did, in your opinion?
I would assume he would. He works for the one of the world's best data analysis companies who they make. Their specialty is tying data to identities. So, there's a million ways they could skin that cat of figuring out who it was who put that memo out, because it's part of their business model. So I would have to assume that he knew.
Me too. I mean, he's an intelligent guy, whether people like him, dislike him, agree, disagree. He's a data scientist, so I'm sure he pulled out the old Google People Operations Handbook and read, if I post this on an internal company chat space, so to speak, what the ramifications would be. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well,
I'm sure he had thought through it.
Here's the interesting follow-up question to it, and I think the more important one. Is it right? Is it just that he were fired?
And that's what the whole episode on intellectual freedom is about, is thinking through the morals, the oughtness, if you will, on his firing. Now, it was legal. No legal scholar or lawyer can argue against that. It was completely legal with what Google did, mm-hmm. but was it right or moral? And that's what we want you to think about and have some conversations about, especially if you have kids. These things are important. This diversity issue is a big one, and it's not going away.
And I got to be honest, I'm torn on how I feel about that. And let me be brief, but number one, I think during the intellectual freedom episode, I think you and I both kind of took a stance that we should stand behind intellectual freedom and the ability to say something that is unpopular.
Or offensive.
And I remember the common thing that you see. I've seen it in movies where someone says, I vehemently disagree with everything you just said there, but I will fight
but
with...
But I respect
no,
you.
No, but I will fight with... I will give my life fighting for your ability to say it.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically Noam Chomsky.
Right.
Or Vince Vaughn at the end of Anchorman.
That's right. So it's a common thought, but it feels to me like in today's society that we live in, here in the United States especially, that's wisdom that we used to have, and it feels like that wisdom is slipping away. Now, when I say that I'm torn, let me take that argument ad absurdum and say, you know, there was a legal case where it was ruled that under freedom of speech, it was protected to have videos of people killing animals.
Crush videos, I think.
Stomping on animals and killing them. Now, I am all about freedom of speech, but my God, how can you defend that and say that that falls under free? I don't see.
Smart attorneys. That's
so. When you take it to the absurd, it doesn't work for me. But at its core, the idea of exploring unpopular ideas, offensive things, I'm in support of. Okay, so should I go ahead and read this?
Read the quote.
All right, this is going to be a little bit long, but everyone, there's some gold in here. So this is from a blog that you can go to at scottaaronson.com and just click on his blog page. He is I believe he's a professor of math, and he's an expert in cryptography, a very smart guy. And he puts out a blog, so I'm going to give him credit. And what he says is, it seems likely that in every culture, there have been truths, moreover everyone knows to be true on some level, but which are so corrosive to the culture's moral self-conception that one can't assert them or even entertain them seriously without, in the best case, being ostracized for the rest of one's life. He then goes on to talk about what that was like in communist Russia and how you would think, with all the things that were wrong, people starving because of centralized agricultural planning and things, that there would be so much to say that's correct and important that, you know, it's low-hanging fruit, and it would be very tempting to speak out against it. And best of all, hardly anyone else is saying it. But then one would think better of it, because it's not as if when you speak a forbidden truth that your colleagues and superiors will thank you for correcting their misconceptions. Indeed, it's not as if they didn't already know on some level that whatever you imagined yourself telling them is true. In fact, it's often because they fear you might be right that the authorities see no choice but to make an example of you, lest the heresy spread more widely. One corollary is that as the more reasonably and cogently you make your case, the more you force the authorities' hand. But what's the inner psychology of the authorities? For some, it probably really is as cynical as the preceding paragraph makes it sound, but for most, he doubts that. He says that, I think most authorities simply internalize the ruling ideology so deeply that they equate dissent with sin. So in particular, the better you can ground your case in empirical facts, the craftier and more convincing a deceiver you become in their eyes, and hence, the more virtuous they are for punishing you. Someone who's arrived at that point is completely insulated from argument. Absent some crisis that makes them reevaluate their entire life, there's no sense in even trying. The question of whether or not your arguments have merit won't even get entered upon. Nor will the authority ever be able to repeat back your arguments in a form you'd even recognize. For even repeating the arguments correctly could invite accusations of secretly agreeing with them. Instead, the sole subject of interest will be you. You and who you think you are. What your motivations were to utter something so divisive and hateful. And you have a good chance of convincing authorities of your benign motivations. You have as good a chance of convincing them of your benign motivations as you'd have of convincing the Inquisition that, sure, you're a heretic, but the good kind of heretic. The kind who rejects the divinity of Jesus, sure, but believes in niceness and tolerance and helping people. To an inquisitor, a good heretic doesn't parse any better than round square, and the very utterance of such a phrase is an invitation to mockery. If the Inquisition had Twitter, its favorite sentence would be, I can't even, Zach. All right. So that's the statement. And I think we've said what we need to say.
Yeah. Go listen to our intellectual freedom episode and have a thoughtful or even passionate discussion about what is going on in the news. And like we always say, experiment with life.
Experiment with life.